Čudbus, máme tady druhý rozhovor z FuturePod Youth, vedle Tilly tu máme momentálně Inile Fons, který je přeborník ohledně VR a metaverse témat, takže vzhledem k tomu, že si můžete pamatovat, že já jsem trošičku skeptický ohledně metaverse a VR témat, aspoň v její současné iteraci, tak mě zajímá, jaké bude mít, jak mi bude oponovat ohledně tohohle. Takže klasicky se přepnu do angličtiny, možná si zvládnu ty české titulky, uvidíme. A tak. So hello, how been your stay in Prague?
Well, how long have I been staying?
Yeah,
how long have I been staying?
Yeah, I want to start.
Well, I love Prague. I love Prague and I love Czech Republic and Czech people. Like, it's a really wonderful place, beautiful architecture, and especially highly cultured people. I really like the Czech mood. Yeah.
How long have you been here?
This time for a couple of days, but this is my fifth time in Prague. Yeah, I really love it. Yeah.
Okay. So about the metaverse and the VR. You've had a speech here. Dokumentářů, let's speak here about the metaverse and how is it defined and what it brought to us. I'm a little bit of skeptic about the metaverse, at least in the metaverse with the capital M, yeah, as it is being communicated by Mark Zuckerberg's Meta, because to me it seems like it's pretty much the Second Life title being like rebranded, uh-huh, and republished.
Yes.
And I don't see much of
innovation.
Innovation, and also I don't think that a lot of people have VR headset, mm-hmm, at this point in time. While of course the VR is much better than it was like 20 years ago,
yeah,
as far as I remember, I don't see it as becoming the big social network like, mm-hmm, the social network became in 2008 and after that.
Sure. Well, I kind of agree with you because we have to make a distinction. One thing is the concept of the metaverse and another thing is the approach that, for example, a private vertically integrated company like Meta is doing. They are creating a product and they are trying to give it the name of an entire vertical, but it doesn't work like that. Like, we don't have, imagine if a company at the beginning of internet would call themselves internet,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't work like that. I think that words do have a meaning, and the term metaverse was invented by an author, and so we should credit that. And when we read actually what he meant, he described very, very specifically what a metaverse should be. So it should be a world that is digitally created, so synthesized. It has to be, it has to offer presence so that people have their own avatar, and it has to be decentralized. And Meta will never be decentralized. It's a vertically integrated single company. When we talk about decentralization in the metaverse, we talk about data ownership, ownership of your own 3D assets, of your own avatar, of your own intellectual property, and Meta cannot offer this level of decentralization. So I would argue that the metaverse doesn't exist. We don't have it at the moment. You were right in saying that we are not far along from that we are not so far along from what Lyndon Lab realized with Second Life, because what Meta has at the moment, it's even worse. It's three applications that don't talk to each other, vertically integrated with zero data privacy and zero privacy for the user. This is not how it should be. But thankfully, there are many, many small and medium-sized companies that really took seriously the concept of creating a federated network of spaces. A federated network of spaces means that you don't have a single application that functions as a metaverse, but you have different spaces that are able to intercommunicate with each other. And this vision is coming to fruition little by little, because of course investors are much more interested in investing, you know, culturally. They want to bet on vertically integrated companies, and surely not in decentralization, and you know, because then you don't have control. So there is a paradigm shift that is happening here. We don't have a metaverse yet, but we do. But what Meta has is a metadata verse. They already have all the informations and the basic level of outreach that would allow them to actually carry out a success, to launch a successful product in the space. The fact is that they cannot really do it because they are a super politically correct and governmental company. So they are trying to bring us the metaverse, but vertically integrated and owned by a single owner. And they are trying to bring us a 3D world, but with so many limitations and regulation that I rather stay, you know, in the real life. And then another thing that is very important for me to point out at the moment is that the metaverse does not require virtual reality. So right now there are metaverse platforms, so 3D spaces where you can interact with people that allow people with virtual reality glasses to communicate with people with phone and people with tablets, and so we don't necessarily need virtual reality headsets for the metaverse.
But then what would be the point, like other than like meeting people, but we can do that in a...
The point is let's say multitasking environment. So when you try, for example, to work with people in the metaverse at the beginning, or in 3D spaces, at the beginning it is clunky because you introduce weird things that we don't have habit to deal with, you know, as professionals generally, but gamers, yes, such as if I get away from you, I don't hear you, so, you know, movement in space and all sorts of stuff. At the beginning it's clunky, but then, for example, when you start interacting with 3, 4, 5 people, you will see that different people will use the canvas, the same space, to paste different documents, and then you find out that you are actually listening to the voice of a person, and maybe you are also seeing the webcam. So basically you find yourself in an environment that is a single environment, but basically has the functionality of Skype, Office, Google Drive, and so many things all together in the same space, multi-user. So I think that, for us, since we lived, I think that we are pretty much the same age, could be, probably
yeah,
5 years.
Yeah,
35, me. Yeah, 5 years difference. Okay, so for us, since, you know, we didn't grow up in digital worlds with digital avatars, chatting with our friends online, we did it as a game, partially, yeah? But when I see kids nowadays, especially the kids of my friends, they spend most of their childhood with a virtual character, talking to people in virtual spaces, and even when they get older, selling and buying items, virtual items. And what one thing that we know is that the habits that people develop early in life are gonna be carried out throughout the rest of their lives. So I really believe that for us, it might look a little bit weird, you know, to interact in a 3D space. But for people that were born inside of the 3D space, it will look weird to have to use Skype and then open another window for the documents and then share the screen and then like open 5 applications to convey a multimedia message.
Yeah, I agree that of course we are not primary users or will not be primary users of the metaverse when it came, because we probably aim at younger people and like most of social networks actually, I think. But then again, we can multitask in real life too, but
It's not really efficient. No.
Well, I think it is efficient as far as efficiency goes, but Is it the appeal of metaverse that we can do these things with people on call, like on distance, that are on the other side of the world, and we can do these things in
with a sense of presence, albeit synthetic, you know, it allows you to have a sense of presence with people very, very far away. It's very different actually from seeing people only on the 2D surface.
So it's mostly for for long distance communication and long distance co-working. It's
definitely.
Not for,
look, I operate a metaverse platform myself, yeah, and really, as I showed before on you know, on stage,
yeah.
Everything was quiet and we were just going on and developing our stuff with our own small niche of 40-50 people until lockdown hit.
Yeah.
And immediately, like, our numbers went up fourfold. No, so as soon as you remove the possibility for people to move freely, express themselves freely, meet new people, humans are very creative animals and they will get any technology possible. And so, you know, when you close them at home, the immediately metaverse becomes an appealing potential, yeah? But what I also noticed, and I also said it on stage, and actually, you know what, I'm super happy about it, I'm zero grudge about it. As soon as the lockdown restrictions were removed, little by little, you know, some of our users became creators, but most of them now they are back to the normal life.
Yeah.
And it's really good that it is like that.
So is it going to still remain a niche application unless there is
for
pandemic or so you don't think it's going to become like important, like big social network?
Not immediately.
And
not immediately.
Then in what time scale? 20 years, 40 years? I mean,
so the industry target, the big speculation is that by 2030 we will have the underlying technological requirements to operate at scale something like the metaverse. Until then, we don't even have the technology, in the sense that if we want to do something really decentralized with peer-to-peer transactions, we might have the technologies, but they are not even compatible with our current laws because we are under GDPR, so we are under Web2 world. And so we need time, and I think that adoption will be pushed by people that are now 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, and that spent the last, you know, most of their childhood playing with Roblox, Minecraft, and Fortnite, for example. Because the basic interface of a 3D space, it's there. So people, the new generation will find it extremely normal.
Well,
and hopefully they will not get locked down.
Yeah, hopefully this technology, like, because I've been, if I could say that, I've been a fan of distant calling, like,
mm-hmm.
like the Zooming or Skyping or whatever we call it, before the pandemic, and then I was happy that it actually got, that people started using these technologies more broadly, but then of course the pandemic stopped and a lot of people have like hate these technologies, so
mm-hmm.
My question is it like they learn to use them, and some of them do use them, of course, probably more than before the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
but there is also this feeling that people really dislike this distant Zoom calls or Skype calls or
of course, yeah, I mean, anything that is forced, you know, we don't necessarily like it, but also we can't deny the incredible advancement in the space. Like I still grew up like in a situation, you know, in years where you had to pay 20 cents per minute to even confer with a person, let alone in your own country. If you were calling the States, you know, you would spend 25 euros for a telephone call of 5 minutes. So now that distance, that gap is removed, and whether we like it or not, it is a clear advancement that clearly benefits everyone. That's true. Zoom calls are not ideal. They stutter. It's much better to meet a person physically, of course. But it's undeniable the fact that we've been given like almost magic technology that allows us to save time and money to a massive scale. It's undeniable. That being said, I'm not a fan of calls, especially long calls with teams on, you know, on these platforms. I find them boring. it's not engaging, limiting the person to a 2D representation with stuttering audio is definitely not ideal.
So like everything, it's the new technology that has its benefits and has its problems. But
yes, and talking about the metaverse, I think you know, like, since I like the fact that you also took like a critical stance about it, you know, one of the main things that I think that it's extremely important that we stress and we point out, especially now that the technology doesn't exist yet and we are building it, we don't have to commit the same mistakes of Web 2, because we came from a Web 1 that allowed me to live to live outside of my country, meet people from all over the world, have my own website. I managed to break free from the limitations of the culture I grew in, you know, thanks to Web 1, and now with Web 2 it's not possible, because you're not exposed like in a library, like to an empty field of information where you go and pick what you want, like the first internet that we grew up with. Now internet knows you, it follows you, it creates a bubble of perception around you so strong that if we pull out your phone and my phone and we are in the same place and we are pretty much, yeah, we are gonna see two different, radically different visions of the world. And this algorithmic, let's say, perception bubble that appified the internet became, we have to make sure that it doesn't happen to the metaverse, and that, and otherwise we really put in jail our next generation,
yeah,
that they are already spending too much time on video games, I think.
Yeah, so well, so far this nice and idealistic view of metaverse with small letter M is being like the metaverse, like the concept is a little bit being hijacked by the metaverse with capital M.
Absolutely, no, it's been totally appropriated. No, so we were, and I'm not alone. Yeah, we are thousands of small independent technology enthusiasts that are working on the protocols, 3D. We do our own parties, we do our own demo scenes, showing each other tricks to make scenes and words much smaller in the megabytes. And you know, and in a way, it's really interesting that now, like, a mega corporation decided to change name and try to appropriate an entire vertical in order to change face, because it gave us it put us a little bit under the spotlight, but just a little bit under the spotlight. Because another thing that is happening that I find extremely dangerous, yeah, it's the overpromise that comes from commercial marketing of big corporations. So if you follow the presentation, they just promised to people a photorealistic, Pixar-looking, free way to communicate, play, do everything in VR as well. It doesn't exist. We cannot have it. We cannot have it. Like, we don't have the technology yet. So if you go to millions of billions of people that are not technology savvy, and you push them this imagery and this vision, doesn't matter if after showing them all of that, you tell them, everything is gonna be different. And by the way, maybe in 5 years, you know? They will not remember, and maybe in 5 years, but then the weight is on us, because then now the expectations that were risen from this corporation, and we as a small decentralized network of developers, we find ourselves like in a situation where people think that they want the metaverse, but they didn't even understand what it is, and they come and ask us for stuff that are not metaverse at all. I think that we have to take more care about the way we use words in technology, and seeing like mega corporations pushing so much on marketing. I'm not really sure that that is not gonna backfire at a certain moment. And how do I know this? It backfired virtual reality. So when I started in 97, it was the same thing with virtual reality. It felt like we were on the cusp, like just a few years, couple of years, and everyone is gonna live in virtual reality. All video games are gonna be in virtual reality. Everything, virtual reality is the future. And I believed it because I was young, and I decided to go in this professional direction. But then we all know what happened. Were they overpromised with visual pre-rendered imagery that was coming clearly from the movie and could have never been possible with the with the current technology? People believed in it, they started buying it, and as soon as they figured out that it was absolutely not what it was advertised, we entered what we call the VR winter. We entered the 10 years of people not even getting close to the thing until 2015 when Oculus came out. So, I mean, I would like this not to happen with the metaverse.
I'm not sure if it is possible to not to happen like these missteps within the entire industry, but we can always hope.
We can wish, and we can also say it to the internet, so maybe one day in the free time, and maybe someone behave well, use communication well, dear corporations, please, like, enough propaganda, like, we already have so much, we're already bombed by information advertisement about everything all the time, please, at least in technology, let us be free to innovate and bring stuff to the world without commercial pressure and unrealistic expectations, because it's gonna backfire also towards them. Not only, you know, we are gonna survive the small ones, we always do.
Okay, so then, best of luck with your innovation and with fighting against misconceptions, if I dare say, and perhaps improving and the technology toward a better end. And thank you, and
and keeping people at the center, especially, because like the thing that hasn't been touched yet in the whole thing is how about privacy, individual privacy, and how about individual property of my digital assets. This is what the metaverse should be about. Should be about people taking back data, sovereignty, and understand that if you are on the internet and you are a digital citizen, it's very important if you know where your data is, who has it, where your assets are, and you empower yourself instead of being like a customer. And at the moment, we are very far away from that culturally, very, very, And until we have that level of maturity, we cannot actually, we can create all the metaverse platform and protocols that we want, but if this doesn't meet a level of maturity from digital users, it's not gonna work.
Well, again, we can wish for the better. I'm not sure if, when it will happen, if it will happen, but it's all right to try.
Yeah, probably scandal by scandal, because I don't know, like, people are becoming more and more aware, very slowly though, but the perception that people have of, for example, the whole entire Meta and Google operation, that the impression that people have now is very different from 5 years ago. 5 years ago, when you told people, look, you're storing all your data forever, and they are performing deep learning on it, people didn't even know what deep learning was. Now, most of the people, even the non-technology savvy, has a little bit an understanding that, I don't know why this phone, like, I just talked about this product and now I see it, probably. This is how it works, you know, but the technology, they started rolling it out like 6-7 years ago, you know, so I think that people little by little will catch up. Unfortunately, tech moves at a much faster speed.
Thank you.
Really nice time. Thank you so much for giving, for asking, for giving me the chance to actually say something that I really mean.
I was hoping it were saying something like that on your speech, but perhaps to other people. But thank you as well, and hope you will enjoy the rest of your stay, and perhaps visit Prague or other Czech cities. We are actually from Olomouc originally, so which is your university city on the east, but and of course we get. And we have Science Communication Festival once a year, so maybe we could arrange something in the future.
Please, please let me know. I love this country. I want to come back as much as I can.
Perfect. Thank you.
And all the best. Ciao.
Tschüss.